Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. Thanks for joining me tonight. If you were with us last night, it was a great show last night. We had a lot of information, and it's always wonderful to have Izzy on the show. He really seems to understand people in a very special way. I think he actually sees us, a lot of us, better than we see ourselves. So it was a great show. And I mentioned last night, at the beginning of the show last night, that I spent time with a very dear friend in the hospital, several miles away, yesterday with her cousin. And we talked about the fact that it's really important to, number one, have a living will, and number two, have all of your instructions and your plans and what you want to happen to you when you leave this world on a piece of paper someplace. There should be something put together so that the people that really love you and care about you and want things to be done the way you would like them to be done, they can't really do that unless they know what you want. And yesterday, when we went to see my friend's cousin, she is under the impression that there is someone very close to him that has that information. But she was kind of beside herself because she didn't know what needed to be done. And if it does fall into her lap to do some of the arrangements, she'd kind of like to know what needs to be done. So last night at about 11 o'clock, her cousin passed away. So today when we talked, she realized, and she and I have talked about this before, but she realized that, yes, it's very important to have some of these things done. We're not just talking about the things like your estate and the fact that you need to make sure that your insurance policies are designated and that the people that are in your insurance policies are aware of what's going on. And of course, if you are a wealthy person and there's a lot of stuff that has to be taken care of and handled, then you probably have an attorney who is doing all that stuff for you. But maybe you don't. My parents didn't. I lost my parents quite a long time ago. And I just did what I thought was best. But I really didn't know anything other than the fact that I knew for sure that they both wanted to be cremated. So that's what they did. As a matter of fact, my mother, my father, and my brother, my brother passed away at only age 46, are all with me here in my office. They all reside right in here in my office with me. And I like that, and I'm comfortable with that, and I think they are too. So again, though, that's kind of one of those things that I think we need to discuss, and I think we need to have written someplace, even if it's not, done legally. If we're talking about just little things that you want to see taken care of, it doesn't have to be legally. If we're talking about a living will for your medical treatment, if something should happen to you and God forbid you are not in a place where you can dictate what is done for you, then a living will is imperative. And for those of you who don't quite understand what a living will is, that's all it is. It's about, say you have a car accident and something horrible happens to you, you've got something written down that tells people whether or not you want to be on life support, whether or not you need a Catholic priest or you need a rabbi, or all of those things would be on there so that the hospital where you are can make sure that your wishes are honored. That's very important, and that's pretty important for all of us. So I do think if you go into the hospital to have something done, in most cases, they already ask you if you have a living will and request that you make one out. I brought Shelly in. Hi, Shell.
Hey, Reen.
How you doing tonight?
Doing pretty good. Trying to battle this weather. Interesting traffic I'm running into. I'm doing pretty good.
Well, you're quite a ways south, and it was worse. It's bad enough up here, but there were pictures this morning, well, at about 2 o'clock in Boca Raton on Clintmore, where a bus was almost floating, a school bus.
Oh my God! Well, in the area where I work down south, one of my friends called me and said, "I think you better go and move your car." She said the water is up almost to the middle of your tires. And she was right. I got out to the parking lot. There's a problem with our parking lot. And a certain area, I guess, it dips. And I parked on that line. And the water went up to 2 inches below my knees. So needless to say,
gosh.
My feet were full of water. My socks were full of water. I had to go back. I ended up leaving a little bit earlier because I got back up to my office. I was just freezing cold just from my, you know, not having anything below my knees that was dry.
Right. Yeah. Well, me too. I started out today outside because I had some plants to put in pots and I had some other stuff to do out back and I gave my dog a bath. So I, before it started pouring, I got a lot of stuff done outside and then I went for a swim. And then next thing I know, the heavens opened up and of course it was on the news all day. So three more times I had to go out, so I've changed my clothes about four times today. That's but one thing's for sure, I'm squeaky clean. There's no doubt about that. I'm squeaky clean tonight.
Yeah, well, you're squeaky clean anyway. So.
Yeah, I try to be. So I don't know whether you were on when I told everybody, but Charles passed away last night.
Yeah, I heard that.
And,
I'm sorry, go ahead, sweetie.
Well, you know, it was a blessing that Jane and I decided to go yesterday because, you know, we could have put it off until today, and that would have been awful, you know.
That's right.
So
that's right.
I'm so grateful that things went well yesterday and we got there and got to spend time with him, so.
Yeah.
So go ahead. What
good.
Were you going to say? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was nice.
I, before we get going, I didn't have a chance to call you, but something came up this evening, so I'm only going to be able to talk to about 7:30, and
okay.
Then I'm going to have to sign off, but I wanted to make sure that at least I got into the beginning of the show, but I wanted to let you know that before we got going, that at about 7:30 I'm going to have to say goodnight to everybody. But,
does that mean
now
we can all congratulate you because you have a hot date?
No, not quite, but it's nothing bad. I have to meet up with somebody that I'm helping with something, so it's all good stuff. It's nothing bad.
All right,
but,
well, good.
Yeah, but I'm working on that too, so eventually you will be able to do that.
Well, I'll keep those vibes out there for you, honey.
Yeah,
you know, what's the sense
there
of having a radio show with all these people that listen without getting their help every now and then? So listen, everybody, put those vibes
there
out there for our Shelley.
Yeah, but
okay,
anyway,
so,
one of the things I was thinking about when I heard you talking about this is two things. First of all, the premise that you talk about all the time on the show is, you know, acting with integrity, doing the right things, and, you know, people being kind to each other. And one of the things that astonishes me, and it kind of plays right into this whole discussion we have, is that when somebody... you know, leaves this earthly coil, and there's family members left behind, if there are not clear instructions of what to do with the property, even if the person's not wealthy. I'm talking about somebody that just has, like, conservative belongings. It can literally rip the family apart, and I've seen it happen more than once where families were torn apart because nobody could agree on what to do with this, and this particular family member felt they were entitled to a particular belonging, and meanwhile this family member felt that it was promised to them, and so on and so forth. So even if you're somebody of modest belongings, it's always a good idea, like you said, just to jot down on a piece of paper, I love my family, some positive parting words, so that your family has something to soothe them, that they know that you remembered them and thought of them lovingly, and then just say, any of your particular belongings that you want to go to a particular person, jot it down on a piece of paper, because it will keep peace in the family. It will let people know what your decision is, and unless you have people that are unreasonable and are going to overturn that, because there's even those type of people, but 9 times out of 10, that's going to keep all the bad stuff from happening. It's going to keep people from bickering, because they're just going to want to honor your wishes. When there's nothing memorialized at all is when you have family members going at each other, and it's awful, because here you're already dealing with the loss of that person, and now you have people acting in a very uncomplimentary way and very inappropriately, and unfortunately, like I said, I've seen it happen more than once where that type of situation played out because there were no clear instructions left from the person. So even if you're not a wealthy person, it's still a good idea to jot something down and let people know what your wishes are. And then obviously we're in the information age here. You can make a video on your cell phone now, It's really easy to put together something, and you can just, mention as many people in your family as you can think of. If they're looking at you and they're seeing a smile on your face when you mention their name, sometimes just hearing a person say, and my cousin Renee, I want to tell her, how much she's meant to me my whole life and I love her, and then go on to the next person. And all you have to do is hear your name mentioned. It can be the most heartwarming final memory of that person that will last with you forever. So, and it really does not take a lot to make these videos anymore. I mean, you can buy an $8 little chip, stick it in your phone, and you're good to go. And then you just put it in an envelope and put it somewhere and make sure somebody knows where you have it, and they can play it. But it's a great idea, and it will keep the family in good stead once that person's not here anymore.
Well, I agree with all of that, and I also think that everybody needs to remember that when you are gone and the people that care about you, that's a very special thing to get something from you after you're gone. That's a very, very special thing. It's excuse me. It's happened to me twice. And not by a family member, by friends. I've had two friends pass, and they both left me in their will, and they left me a little bit of money, and they've left me, like a keepsake, and touched base with me, you were my friend, and I loved you. And it was amazing how it kind of like mends a little bit you're missing them. So it's also a beautiful thing in that respect,
Of course.
And
right.
And I'm wondering, do you think people are confused? I've already explained the living will. Do you think there are some people out there that are confused as to what a living will is?
Oh, sure. I mean, I know what a living will is because I've had to deal with them. Even before I worked at Hippocrates, I knew what a living will was. But, I think there's probably a lot of people that aren't sure what that term means. Why don't you go ahead and explain it?
Well, I kind of started that. A living will is for your medical needs. And it means that if something happens, like I said before, like God forbid you have an automobile accident or anything like that happens, and there's no – maybe you're in another state – even, driving on a long trip and something happens. A living will be recorded in any hospital if they take you into the hospital. And they'll know whether or not you expect to be put on life support. They'll know whether you don't want that. They'll know whether there's somebody that they should contact. They'll know whether you need a priest or a rabbi or a minister to come and see you because of your religion or your choices in regard to anything like that. And, of course, there's, you know, there's the fact that a lot of us today are organ donors. And your information regarding donating your organs is in your living will as well.
Right.
But it doesn't have anything to do with after you're gone. It's about your treatment before you succumb.
Right, because some people want to put down on there that they don't want any extraordinary measures being taken. You know, they don't want to be hooked up to all kinds of machines that are keeping them alive, because you can keep somebody alive sometime on machines for weeks, months, and then we've actually seen it in the news where people were kept alive for years, never regained consciousness. And there are some people that said, you know, no, I don't want to exist like that. And then there are other people that are like, oh, I don't care if I'm in a coma for 5 years, if there's a chance I might come out of it, hook me up, you know. So it's a personal choice, and everybody has to decide for themselves what's right for them. But the living will, that's another thing you can designate as to whether or not you want extraordinary measures taken or not.
Well, you know, I want to, on this note, I want to tell everybody a little story. And, of course, Shelley and I have talked on several occasions about where we both worked together. And it was a place where a lot of times people would come and they would be very, very ill. And preparing them for the fact that they perhaps were not going to make it and maybe not even ever leave Hippocrates again would often be my job. And I would spend time with people. And it's not a real easy thing to do, but I must tell you, it's beautiful. There's nothing that made me, I never felt uncomfortable doing it because I couldn't stop it. There was nothing I could do to change the facts. So I felt like I was happy that I could make it try my very best, and I was happy to do that to make it nicer for the person and maybe for a loved one who might be with them. Well,
of course.
We met a lady who was an ordained minister in a very famous place in another state. And she was very spiritual, and she was very ill, very, very ill. And I have lots of stories about her that maybe at some point in time I'll share with everyone on the show. But one of the most interesting things about her was she wanted to, when she told me this, I was shocked because of who she was and what I knew about her. She wanted to be put on life support if anything happened. And I was like, really? And she said, yeah, why? Why do you think that's wrong of me? And I said, I wouldn't say right or wrong. It's not my place to say that. I'm just kind of surprised because usually when I meet somebody like you who's so spiritual, you're looking forward to moving on. You know, you're ready to go to the next step, and for you it's usually a beautiful thing. And she said, oh, I still believe that. But she believed in all of the things that she had done in her life. She had in her mind and in her heart that when she was just getting ready to cross over, she would be born again right then. So she didn't want... Yeah, so she didn't want to spend any time not alive until that transition was ready.
Oh my goodness! How interesting.
Yes. And I remember sitting there trying to understand, you know, because it was a little bit over my head when she first said it to me, and I was like, how do you think that's going to work? And she went into detail. You know, she said it's going to happen in a split second. And so I want my heart to be beating. I want everything to be functioning when that transition happens. I don't want to be declared dead, and then
wow.
and then think it's going to happen. I can be very close to death, and then that will take place.
Wow.
So, and that is what she ended up doing. She stayed with us for a long time. She did get a little bit better, and then she went home. And when she went home, that's exactly those were the directions she gave where she was a minister, and that's what they did for her. And, you know, I think about her a lot and think to myself, I wonder if any day, you know, wouldn't it be amazing if I ran, you know how you meet a stranger and you feel like you know them?
Yeah.
And I always think of her like that. I mean, this is kind of out there for everybody. But when you meet people like that and they tell you those things, I had no reason to not believe her.
Exactly. Yeah, that's great.
I really had no reason to not believe her because she believed it so completely that I was like, okay, I get it. That's great. I hope you're right. You know, and she says, oh, I am. I am. I said, okay. So, but there's a perfect perfect example of how people have different things that are going to be important to them. But if you don't share them with anybody, how the hell is everybody going to know?
Right, right. Because normally, that's a very, very unique scenario that
uh-huh.
she desired. That is not the way it normally would have been handled, either by us or when she got home. So, I applaud her for being that specific, you know, that she was
mm-hmm.
able to make sure things went the way she wanted, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And again, there's no right or wrong. It's
that's right.
based on people, you know, you have so many different religious beliefs. You have so many different, you know, some people believe in reincarnation. Some people don't. You know, some people believe in all different things about what happens to us when you transition. And, you know, so make sure what your beliefs are, what's going to make you comfortable, what's going to comfort your family and the people that are left behind are made clear. So that not only is it easy for you, so you don't have to worry about things, you know that things are going to get taken care of properly, but then the people that are close to you, you know, when people understand what your wishes are and you've made it very clear, it actually makes it easier on everybody because then they can just attend to honoring you, remembering you,
that's right.
you know, and that kind of thing, and not getting caught up in all the nonsense that you see happening with families when there aren't clear instructions taken. And it really is just nonsense. But it can really bring out the worst in people, unfortunately, which is something I've never quite understood. You know, here I'm missing somebody, but now I want to make sure I go over and get the crystal bowl out of their cupboards. How does that work? I've never quite understood that,
yeah.
you know.
Well, because we're very materialistic, and even beautiful people that, you know, that other people respect and love can still be like that. Everything you said earlier is absolutely positively true, that I've seen that myself, even with piddly stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, things that
That's
I'm like,
the person doesn't have to be wealthy for it to happen. I've seen it happen with just, you know, very, very modest,
mm-hmm.
you know, someone who lived in a trailer home, for God's sake.
Mm-hmm.
But there were certain
mm-hmm.
things that I was like,
mm-hmm.
wow, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
that's, it really is important.
And it does keep
you know?
That stuff, it does keep that stuff under control. And again, it also makes the people that you left behind feel special because you were thinking about them.
Right.
And if you're the kind of person that gets a little bit of joy from that, that's a good reason right there all by itself. You know,
yep.
if you know that it will make, you know, especially if you're talking about your children, your spouse, your brother, your sister, you know, the people that you're really close to, your best friends, you know, there's just some things that, you know, that would be nice for you to do. And it's not scary, and it's not, it can be very beautiful. And I might say that I've written letters to all my kids because when I lost my parents, I went on a bit of a guilt trip. And even when I lost Joey, I remembered him coming over at night after he'd had some of the surgeries, and his head would hurt him really bad. And I'd worked all day, and then I came home and I made dinner, and I'd be so tired, and he'd walk in the house, "Renee, will you rub my shoulders?" And I always did it, but there were some nights that it pissed me off to do it because I was tired.
You were just
exhausted. And I would do it, but then later, you know, of course, I was angry at myself, ashamed of myself because I, you know, my heart wasn't in it some of those nights. And I was, you know, I was ashamed. So that's when I wrote letters to all of my kids. And I said, look, if it's, you know, if you can't be with me every minute, if something really awful happens to me and I'm laying in a bed someplace, don't think you got to be standing beside me all the time. Don't think you have to check on me every minute. I mean, don't leave me alone in the woods or anything, you guys. You know, but
well,
I don't expect you,
that.
Yeah, but I don't expect you to stop living your life because I'm in that place. Because
right.
I did, I suffered with a lot of guilt with all three of those people because I was trying to work, trying to raise family, and still trying to take care of them. And I, now, you know, we're, well, with my parents, gosh, we're like 25 years later, and I don't really feel guilty anymore, although there's still things that I wished I'd have done that I didn't do. And let me say about that, too, you know, that's why it's always very, very, very good idea when you really care about people to make sure that they know it.
Yeah, and that's almost cliche. You hear that all the time, and yet it is something that so many people take for granted, and they care about somebody or they appreciate them, and they just don't say it. They always think there's going to be time tomorrow.
Yeah.
But tomorrow never gets here. Tomorrow is always tomorrow, you know?
That's right.
You know, so it, like I said, it's almost cliche to say it, but it is so, so important. And when you realize how fleeting life can be, you know, you could be in your 20s, you could be in your 60s, and you could feel completely vital and indestructible. But you know what? I've seen people have catastrophic accidents that they should never have survived, and they're out of the hospital in a week and they're fine. And then I've seen somebody else trip and fall down, and then and something else goes wrong, and a day later they're not here anymore. And, and it's like, and it's such a fluke thing. So you never know. You know, it's, you could feel fine. It doesn't mean that you have to be ill to do these things. You should do it at the moment you think about it. Because you just, you know, life is unpredictable, and it really has nothing to do with health or anything. There's so many different things that could happen that you're not even aware of that can take you away from the people that mean something to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's exactly right. That's it. Well, you just mentioned something. You and I had a very dear friend that came to Hippocrates all the time that we both loved, and she was so vital and so alive. She fell down some stairs.
I know. I know what you're talking about.
You know, and she
was
gone.
Stunned.
And I was like, how?
I was
how
stunned.
Did that happen?
I know.
But it happened.
I was absolutely stunned when I heard that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was funny because only a couple months earlier, I had asked you about her, and we were planning on I hadn't seen her in a long time. You had seen her earlier than that, and that came like out of left field for me. It was bizarre, you know, because it was such a freak accident to begin with.
Yeah,
you know, and that's what I'm talking about. You just never know, you know. But so there's no time like the present.
That's right, and these are simple things, and it's a little bit therapeutic for you. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean that you're trying to be morbid. It doesn't mean any of those old, things that people used to say, oh, I'm not going to deal with this right now because I don't want to think about dying. You're not thinking about dying. You're thinking about living. But, you know, if you really want to do things your way, if you're like me and you want to do things your way, do them your way. But if nobody knows your way, that's not going to happen. So you realize that it's 7:30, honey.
It is.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I have a clock right in front of me.
Yeah, I got about two more minutes because the other people have
to be
late. I'm waiting in my car for them, so I'll talk until they show up.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Then I won't worry. Then you'll know when you can go.
Exactly.
Okay.
But it's, you know, and one of the things that's wonderful is that, you know, if you're, especially if you're in a good place right now, this is when it's really good to make the video or to write the letters, is when you are feeling good. Because if anything were to happen to you, if you got sick or you had an accident or something and you weren't feeling good, it might be harder to find the words. It might be
harder for you
because you would be a little self-consumed, which is understandable, you know.
That's right.
But if you're in a good place, that's a better time to do this because you'll say kinder things. You'll be more forthcoming with putting good stuff out there, whether it's in a letter or making a short video or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, a lot of people think that they have to wait till they're older or whatever. No, do it when you're in your 30s. Do it when you're in your 40s or 50s or whatever, you know, and then wouldn't that be fun 20 years later for your family to look at it and see you as a young person and saying all these really, you know, fantastic things. And then you can always add letters as you meet people that are important to you or make another video of somebody else. But kind of lock it in now. It's almost like a time capsule.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like how many people put time capsules in when they were in high school, you know, and then they get dug up decades later. And it's fun to see what was important to you back then. What did life mean to you back then? And you start reminiscing, and when you start reminiscing, all those old emotions come back. You get those youthful feelings and memories again, you know. And it'll do that for the people that are in your life. When they start, if they see you or if they hear some of the things you say, it will bring them back in time, too, to a better time with you. So don't put it when you are in a good place.
I agree. I think it's plus that, like you just said, it's also it is therapeutic, and it is good for you, and it's not morbid like everybody thinks it would be morbid, and it really isn't morbid at all. It's really kind of beautiful, even when you're just doing it quietly and haven't even told anybody that you're doing it yet, and have it put away in a safe place where, you know, the right people will find it. It's still a very beautiful thing. But one of the things that I wanted to make sure that everybody understands, some of the things, is you know, besides the living will, you should have a living will to go along with this as well, just in case, you know, you go through life and everything is fine forever, and then all of a sudden you get sick or something. But you also want to make sure that everybody understands how you want to leave, whether you want to be cremated, whether you want to be buried, whether you want to be viewed. A lot of people say to me, please, I don't want anybody to look at me after I'm dead. That's just what they say to me. And I laugh and I say, why? You'll probably be better looking. Somebody else will do your makeup, you know, and they laugh at me. But I'm like, you know, I get that. Okay, that makes sense to me. I don't think I want that. So that made a lot of sense to me. But you should have all that stuff down, and you should have, do you want a funeral home? Is there, you know, like the funeral that we all went to a few weeks ago of another very close friend, she had everything done. She did everything herself. Everything was already organized and taken care of for her children. Her children didn't have to do anything. If you are in a place that you want to do that, then by all means, that's a beautiful thing to do, and all your wishes are, you know, are taken care of. But the other thing is, like what Shelley just said, about making sure that everybody gets the things that you would like to see them have, so that there aren't any of the family problems. And you don't start a family war because you gave your older sister this and your younger sister that, and they want to switch them back and forth. You could even put that in the note. Look, if you don't, Renee, if you don't like that so much, give it to Shelley. Shelley, if you don't like that, give that to Renee. You could even do that. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
I mean, you
right.
could make it real, but also make it wonderful, because saying goodbye to somebody is the most painful thing that we all have to go through, right?
I know. Sweetie pie, I do got to...
Okay.
My people are here now, so I got to get going. But
okay.
But great show that you're doing tonight. I think it's good information, and it kind of lends itself to the whole major topic of just being good to each other, and putting this kind of stuff out there will keep people in a better place when you're talking to your family members and your loved ones.
Yes, absolutely. So, absolutely.
Great show.
Thank you, my dear.
And I will talk to you tomorrow.
All right. All right. Have fun.
All right. Good night, everybody.
So, here we are, and I'm going to stay on this topic, but I also want to make sure that everybody understands how beautiful and how simple this can be to take care of this. And sometimes it just starts with a simple letter. The video is a cool idea. If you have the wherewithal and the technical knowledge to be able to do that, I think that is awesome. But if you don't, and if you're just worried, and if maybe it would just make you feel better, you could just start jotting down over the next few days little things that would mean something to you to do for somebody that you're leaving behind. And again, this is not a morbid topic. This is the inevitable. The inevitable means there's nothing you can do to change it, because eventually we all move on. We all leave here and go to whatever we believe is next. And that's okay. But it's much nicer if it can be done with a little bit of love and decorum and respect for each other. Now, some of the other things that I looked up tonight that might help all of you, there are a lot of places online that have got simple forms. For a living will, they have simple forms. They have forms for last will and testaments. They have all kinds of things that you could get, you know, go on a search engine, whatever one you like to use, Google, Bing, whatever you're using, and just put in last will and testament. And I found some sites that included the living will, but not all of them. So I put in living will. And I got a whole bunch of sites that will help you with that, and you can print out the forms for those as well. So if you are concerned about what should be in it or what shouldn't be in it, that maybe would help you to look at one of the forms so you'd get an idea about, you know, how you should start it out and how you should figure out everything that you need to figure out. Again, if you own a home, if you have a substantial amount of assets, then I'm hoping that you have an attorney, because legally speaking, that would safeguard you the best. But if you don't, or even if you just have your home and you have a couple little things and everything is already done and your home goes to your spouse if he survives you, or your home goes to your children, all that stuff is fine. But that doesn't take care of all the little things and the nuances that will make your passing be more comfortable for the ones that you're leaving behind. And I do think that that's incredibly important, and that's the last really beautiful, kind act you can do for them. Now I want to tell you all kind of a cute story about this topic. When I'm talking to all of you on the phone, I'm in my home office, and it is filled to the brim with memorabilia, because all of my life I have been in the hospitality business. I've owned my own bar and restaurant. I've managed restaurants, I've been the waitress, I've been the chef, I've been the hostess, I've been the barmaid, I've done all those things. So what I've done most of my life is deal with people, and I love people. And I enjoy meeting people, because everybody has a different story, everybody has a different personality. I love that, and I'm very interested to listen to people talk about themselves, which, of course, through the years, has made me a pretty good friend and has also, given people the impression that it's okay to share almost anything they want to share with me. And sometimes that can be a little embarrassing, by the way, because people share a lot of stuff with me that I really probably would rather I didn't know, but I always listen gracefully anyway. And so my office is full, like I said. I have little knickknacks. I have cuddly animals. I have I have the Hokey Pokey Oscar from Sesame Street, because I used to teach everybody at Hippocrates after graduation to do the Hokey Pokey. So one of my dearest friends brought that for me. I have paintings by guests. I have pictures by guests. I have a caricature of myself in Central Park, New York, after being on the Today Show. I have a big plaque that says, "The man who says it can't be done shouldn't interrupt the woman doing it." I have a purple boa that I was given on my 60th birthday. And I have a beautiful book that has letters to me from all my staff at Hippocrates. And I have pictures, decoupages, with all kinds of people that I've known through the years. And I have angels, and I have a lion, and I have a beautiful chart with all my astral signs on it. And I have my credential of ministry, my advocate plaque, all of those kind of things. So, as before, I've told you about my grandson, AJ. AJ is 6 years old, and he comes in my office, and he'll, "So, Graham, what are you doing?" And I say, "Well, I'm trying to get this email sent out. I'll be with you in just a minute." And I see him looking around the office, and almost every day he comes in and wants to know if he can have something out of the office. Well, he's pretty much depleted me of anything that I'm willing to just give away, because most of the other stuff that's in here, you know, have value to me, because they were given to me by somebody that I care about and they cared about me. So I explained that to him. I said, "Graham, won't give you, can't give you any of the things that were given to me by other people. If I bought it for myself, you can have it. But if someone else gave it to me as a gift, does that sound nice for me to do, to give you something that somebody gave to me as a present?" And he goes, "No, I guess not." So he goes around the office and he goes, "What about this?" "Oh, I know. The girls gave you this at the Ramada Inn." And I say, "Yeah, that's right." And he goes around the office and he looks at everything. And he says, "I know you're going to say no, but I really would like to have this little teddy bear." And it's a crystal teddy bear that sits inside of a shell. And I said, "Age, you can't have that. Somebody that I care about a lot gave that to me." So he shrugs his shoulders and he goes, "Oh." I said, "But listen, I'll tell you what. You tell me what's your biggest favorite things in here. You write them down," because he's learning how to write and how to spell and do his letters and everything, so this is a good task for him. I said, "You write down and tell me everything that you would really like to have. And when I die, you can have it all." And he goes, "Oh." And he looks at me real funny and he says, "Well, I really don't like that word very much." I said, "What, die?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, everybody dies, honey. We've talked about that before, and I know you'll miss me and you don't want me to die and I don't want to die either, but, you know, that's what we're supposed to do when we're done living." And he goes, "Okay." And he leaves my office for a little while and he comes back maybe 15 minutes later and he says to me, "I really don't want to use that word anymore." I said, "What word?" And he goes, "You know, that word." And I said, "Okay, we won't talk about that anymore." And he goes, "But," he says, "when you do die, who gets your car?" And I laughed so hard. And he's looking at me with this really serious look on his little face. And I said, "Well, I guess because you're the first one to ask for it, it would have to go to you." And he goes, "Good." And I said, "But you are only 6. And the PT Cruiser is going to be pretty old by the time you'd get it." And he said, "Oh. Do you think you'll have a different car then?" And I said, "I might have." And he goes, "Well, can I have that one?" And I said, "Absolutely." So I think I guess the point I'm trying to make with all of you is it all depends on how you approach things as to how people accept them. And I, for one, am not afraid to leave this world. I kid everybody and say I don't particularly want to because I'm pretty sure nobody can live without me. And everybody, I get the rolled eyeballs and everything, but I have no fear of it because I believe that what you go to after this is the epitome of everything you think is beautiful, and it's an individual kind of a thing. So what I'd like to see everybody do, though, seriously, to be prepared for this, is to just, like I said, for the next few days, jot down some notes about what you think you'd like to do, and that may change several times. Today you may think you want to do this. Next week something may happen in your life that changes your mind about that and you have the opportunity to change it. But you do need to think about it and prepare for it. And as I said, the sweet man that we lost last night, who was quick with the joke and very, very friendly and warm, did some preparations, but not everything. So now a lot of things are being left up to people that aren't even really related, because he was involved with a bunch of older folks at a church, and they all loved him to death. But, you know, who knows if they really knew what he wanted to do. So, of course, that's why my friend is worried, because she wasn't in that group either. So, again, it's just a nice thing to do for everybody and helps everybody understand what it is you really want for your last wishes. So if anybody has any questions on that, they are always welcome to contact me directly. I've given out my email on the show on several occasions, or you can look me up on Facebook under Renee Brewer, RENIEBREWER, and friend me and let me know that you listen to the show, and I will be happy to chat with you that way, or you're always welcome to email me. Email is Renee, RENIE, dot Brewer, BREWER, 91 at gmail.com. Now, I have heard from a few people about some of the things that we've talked about lately. And, of course, the most sensitive thing that we talk about all the time is all the bad things that happen to children. And that's how I started the show, for those of you who are just starting to call in. I do like to touch base on a lot of different topics that I think people get confused about, and a lot of things that happen in my life make me think that it would be a good idea to share some of these things with other people. But the biggest reason I'm doing this radio show is to promote a better sense of kindness and caring amongst all the human beings that share this planet. And, of course, the ones that I worry the most about are the ones that trust the adults in their lives and the big people in their lives and the people that appear to be in charge. And very sadly, that's not always a good thing. Tonight on the 6 o'clock news that I watched really quickly before I came into my office to get ready to talk on the show, they showed a little girl who's 5 years old who's goes to a daycare in Miami, and the daycare teacher or caregiver, whatever she's called, spanked her because she wouldn't go to sleep. And she came home and told her mom, and now it's all over the news. And then, of course, the minute it went all over the news, there was a whole bunch of little kids. One of them was only 3 that is being spanked because she doesn't go to sleep. And then they do a a story about a four-year-old who went to school today on his school bus and fell asleep on his school bus, and all the other kids got off the school bus and went into school, and nobody saw him on the bus. So he woke up, and there's a video camera on the bus, and they showed the video of this little guy walking around with his book bag on his shoulders. He wasn't crying, but he was kind of, confused looking, probably from just waking up. And the commentator on the news show shared with the viewers that this was a special bus, and this young man has trouble with his speech. That's why he goes to this special school. So all of a sudden, somebody else comes on the bus, and it's a repairman. Now, this is kind of amusing to me, and every time I think about it, I think to myself, I don't even get it. But the repairman walks on the school bus, and he has seatbelts over his shoulder. He doesn't say anything to the little boy. He walks right past him and goes to the back seat and puts some seatbelts on the seats. And next thing you know, he walks out again, and in comes another lady because he tells somebody there's a little boy on that bus after he does the seatbelts. And that's the part that I didn't quite grasp. And the lady comes down and she says, "Come on, sweetheart, you probably need a drink of water," and takes him off the school bus. But I have to wonder, again, a bus driver, the school people, they had even called the mom to say that the little boy wasn't at school. So mom was already panicking, and nobody knew that he was on the bus all by himself. Now, there's lots of terrible things that could have happened. Thank God none of them did. But I can't get past the fact that the repairman walked right past him like it was perfectly normal to find this little boy on this closed-down school bus. And the fact that there's even an aide on the bus and nobody checks the seats to see if, especially with little people that young, that nobody fell asleep or that nobody was hiding. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to have a four-year-old hide because he didn't want to go to school, hide under the seat. I can imagine a four-year-old doing that. Nobody looked. And then the next thing I see on the news, a 15-year-old boy who a while back, because he was standing in the wrong place at the wrong time in Miami, and Miami is a beautiful, beautiful city, but it's got a lot of crime, and it has a lot of street violence. And this young man was shot and is paralyzed now from his waist down. And he said something tonight on the news that my own grandson has said to me. And he said, they made him a bicycle. I'm sorry, I forgot this part. They made him a bicycle that he can ride. He puts his feet at the end of it. It's one of those low, like a giant big wheel kind of a thing. He puts his feet at the bottom of it, and he steers with his hands and also pedals with his hands. So he's riding all over town by using this bicycle. So it's made him very happy and has given him a little bit of freedom that he didn't have before. But when the interviewer asked him how he felt, he said, "I feel better now that I have this and I'm not, like, stuck. And I can, you know, get some exercise." And you could see, I mean, he could go very, very fast by pushing his hands on these pedals. And I'm sure that that helped release a lot of pent-up emotions. So it was probably good for him in many ways. But he said, "You know, every morning when I wake up, I get angry all over again when I look at my legs." And my grandson has said that to me. "Every morning when I wake up, I look at my arms and my legs, and I remember what they used to look like, and it makes me mad, Grandma." So it touched very close to home when this young man said this today. And I do believe that this is one of our major, major problems. And the more I talk about these things and the more I research and the more I read, I see that so much of the anger that is spread is because other individuals are full of it, full of anger for different reasons, for being hurt, for never having anybody that listens to them when they are hurt. And eventually they're like pressure cookers, and they have to let go of it. And there's many ways, and sometimes it has to do with hurting themselves. And sometimes it has to do with hurting themselves, and sometimes it has to do with hurting someone else. But I believe that if we could start teaching people how to talk and how to say what's really on their mind. Somebody wrote me a message today about, I wish I could get better. I wish I could be the person I feel like I am inside and you know, let people know that I'm not this hurt, confused person, that I'm inside. I know who I am. And I said, you have to tell somebody. You have to tell somebody. And then somebody wrote me actually like an advertisement that's posted someplace about child molestation and how young children are molested and abused. And I said, well, one of the biggest things about that, again, is sometimes you have to yell to tell what's going on with you. If you keep it to yourself, nobody can help you. They can think you're messed up. They can think you need help. They can think something's wrong. But if you don't tell people, how do you expect them to help you work through it? They can't. So again, it's all about what we do on the show. It's about talking, sharing, communicating. Now, I've met a lot of young people here lately that write a lot. They write poems. They write stories. A lot of them are very dark. A lot of them are full of pain. They've asked me, do you think I'm weird because I write that? I say, no. I think this is incredibly therapeutic. And I think as long as it keeps wanting to tumble out of you, you should keep writing it down on a piece of paper. And who knows? Maybe someday somebody else will read it and you'll change everything that's going on for them. And the young man who wrote some stuff and let me read it recently said, do you really think that could happen? And I said, I absolutely, positively believe that there's probably somebody out there right now, if they read this, you would make them feel like they're not the only one on the planet that has the same feelings. So, I'm ending the show on kind of a sad note, I feel like, and I don't like to do that, so I hope you'll all giggle when you think of AJ asking me if he can have my car when I decide to kick the bucket, and some of the other things that we've shared tonight that were a little bit more lighthearted. But I am getting a lot of emails, and I'm getting a lot of feedback of people that are hurt and angry, and you can call me and tell me anytime, and you can write it down on a piece of paper whenever you want to. It'll make you feel better. And I hope all of you organize and get something written for your loved ones for the day, you know, that you sing your swan song. So it was lovely to be here with you again tonight, and I will not be on the air tomorrow night. I will post that on Facebook. I, too, have an appointment, and I have to make it because it's very important. So forgive me, but I will be back on the air next Monday evening, and I try really hard not to miss any nights, and I try not to do any recordings. I try to always be live, and I want to be there for anybody who needs to hear me. So, good night, everybody. from my heart to yours. I love you. And God bless. Good night.